How is the demerger proceeding at this point?
Now, it's we're moving according to plan. We're going quite well. You know, the applications to the Reserve Bank, the applications to the UK authorities, there's lots of that kind of work. The various stock exchanges, so, you know, we're moving according to plan. So there's no issues at this point in time.
You, given the fact that, you know, yourself, Glenn, and Bernard were all coming to retirement or time to step aside at approximately the same time.
Well, Glenn's younger.
Glenn's a bit younger. But yet, do you think about this, I mean, how many years before did you start planning this?
Two
years?
Yeah.
Okay. And, I mean, but before that, you've been I think the organization has been constantly developing and replenishing its talent pool, so that underneath the guys like Hendrik and Fani that are taking over, you've got a pool of guys that have been running the businesses for a long time.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you take the bankers, Richard Wainwright, who leads the SA Bank, has been with us 24 years. Dave van der Walt, who leads the UK Bank, similar period of time. Steve Elliott, who leads the wealth business in the UK globally, has been with us, I think, almost 30 years. Henry Brumenthal, 23 years. Fani came in as a director in 2003, so 15 years. Hendrik's team, I don't know, he gives you an average, it's like a big number of his executive, it's like also mid-20s. The people have been there. So we have a very established team. We hire young people into the organization, either as young graduates or, you know, guys in their second job or third job, maybe from the industry, maybe from one of the professions, some of them stay for us for a very long time. And that's the culture of the organization, is to nurture your people, to make them feel that this is a second home, and to make them feel part of the organization, and very open and transparent environment, not autocratic. And that's, you know, anyone can talk to anybody about anything. And, you know, all of us live in open plan. In fact, in the UK, what we've done now is we have neighborhoods. People don't have their own desk, unless they, you know, someone who has to have their own place, and they have lockers and neighborhoods. We have that here as well for our client service people, and they come and they find a desk every day, and they take their stuff out the locker, and you know, everything's electronic, so they don't have a lot of paper. If they have paper, it's in a box and it goes in the locker at night, and when they come back, they take it out the locker. So
that's done to stimulate the flow of communication, both formal and informal, between people.
Yeah, and it also improves the utilization of space, because, you know, you've got empty spaces sitting there all day, and people are out there. They must be out there with their clients. They can't just sit inside. Now, some people are desk-bound, but a lot of people should be out with clients. So you know, it's much better utilization of space and creates a much better environment. If you go to our UK office, we just moved into 30 Gresham from 2 Gresham, you'll see it's a buzz of people moving in. And there's, you know, neighborhoods where they sit and they have coffee and they have meetings, and there's a lot of personal interaction, which is, you know, our culture and our style. So, you know, we're always trying to improve as an organization how we interact with people, both with our clients, both internally and externally.
I think, perhaps in your words, what's the state, what's the condition you've left? Or not left, but what's the condition of the institution that you're handing over, especially with relation to the specialist bank and wealth and investments? Global financial crisis was a big shock. How's the Investec that's going to remain looking at the moment?
So we think we're in pretty good condition. I think if you look at the SA Bank, it's very good shape across. All businesses. We've actually started a newish business in the SA Bank, which is called Investec for Business. It's a merger of three businesses that we own. We see quite big growth opportunities there. Our private bank continues to grow. Our corporate bank, that's been a tough market space, but we've got a very strong positioning in it. And we've got a very good property business. Our property funds have done well, well regarded. And then we also created the spin-off from our private equity business called IP, which is now called Bud.
Yeah.
That's a very good business. So we think that it is in pretty good shape. Any bank will always have its restructured book, which is in our case pretty small. And if you look at our problem loans as a percentage of our core capital, also exceptionally low. And I'm talking SA. If we move across to the UK, we spent, the financial crisis. I don't think South Africans understood the depth of the financial crisis. And we navigated ourselves through that financial crisis. We never went to our shareholders and asked for more capital. We used the capital we got through, selling things and buying things. We did issue shares, mainly for acquisition. We bought the minority of Rensburg Shepherd. The majority of Rensburg Shepherd, we own 47, to create Investec Wealth. We bought a thing called Evolution to create Williams de Broe. We sold our Australian bank. We sold off Kensington. So we did a lot of reshaping of the balance sheet. And then we had a legacy book, which is now down to, I don't know how much, £180 million from, was £7 billion at the time of the financial crisis. And that was the book that was written pre the financial crisis.
Right.
Which, the whole rules of the game actually changed post the financial crisis in terms of yield at which you wrote the book and the quality of the business that one wrote. So we had to run that off. So you saw the UK bank results were very strong in this first half, and we think that's the order of things to come. So we think that the business is in very good shape, and it's neat and tidy. And now it's how we grow and get the returns that shareholders expect. And banking returns globally have gone down a lot because you have to have four times the capital you used to have.
So, Stephen, some of the criticism that we've heard from investors is they wanted a little bit more from the specialist bank in terms of earnings growth. You don't accept that?
They got in SA, where you were. In SA, we were marginally up. How are you going to grow in this environment? Economy's limping. So we're growing our franchises, we're building new businesses. But overall, it's very tough out there. So none of the South African banks grew. A few percent here, a few percent there. Some of them have got businesses in Africa that recovered from bad times. Our UK bank, I can't remember what it was up. I don't do the result this year, so it's not all in my head. But it was up double from last year, and that's because there's no more legacy. So I don't know what they're moaning about, to be quite honest. I thought that they would appreciate the results because you've come through quite a tough environment. Your ROE improved from 12.1 to 13.4. They've been moaning about ROE forever. If you look at Goldman Sachs' ROE, it's first time it's above 10 in I don't know how many years since the financial crisis. So you've got one side of your business is a higher return environment, which is SA,
yeah,
and the other side is a lower return environment. So we've been focusing on getting the ROE up in the UK and South Africa maintaining it or sustaining it and maybe getting it up a bit, and I think we can get it up a bit. But you've still got to do your strategic business. You've still got to build new businesses which don't return anything while you're building them.
Right.
And you're still growing and you're still trying to grow. And if I look at what we were at 208 compared to what we were today, I can't remember exactly how much our funds under management. We managed 160 billion quid third party money between the wealth business and the asset management business. 166 about billion quid. If I multiply that by 18 point something, I get to over 2 trillion. I get to 3 trillion rand almost. 2.5 trillion rand. Then I add my on balance sheet stuff, which is say 50 billion quid. There's another 900 billion. I'm looking after almost South Africa's GDP in this business that started with 8 people 38 years ago. So it's and if I go since the financial crisis, Look how we've grown our third-party funds under management since the financial crisis. Okay, I haven't got the number in my head. I need something in front of me. But I can assure you asset management has grown dramatically. Wealth has also. Wealth, mainly through acquisition, but also grown organically.
Right.
Asset management, pure organic. Okay? And that's in the face of a world that was in a financial crisis. So then I say, okay, I come back. The SA Bank, if I look at what we were 10 years ago compared to what we were today, we are chalk and cheese in terms of who we are, what we stand for, and our penetration of the market. If I go to the UK bank now is on an even keel. We took 10 years to tidy up everything, and that's what it takes to recover from a financial crisis, unless you do what the Americans do, go and drown out your shares and issue 90% of your capital to save your bank, which is what RBS did, what Lloyds had to do. You know, Barclays, they did 3 capital raises, sold their best businesses. They sold Barclays Global off to BlackRock.
Yeah.
So, you know, this was a tough period to come through.
Right.
And here you are, you're the other side of that. Everything's neat and tidy. You know, we're in a leadership transition. We're giving the asset management shares to the shareholders. They've always, you know, said, why have you got these two businesses together? You want focused business. That's what we're doing. But, you know, they still complain. So, you know, I can remember guys from large institutions just saying, why are you trying to build an asset management business in the UK? Because we, in 2002, 2003, making a small loss while we were building the franchise. Now look at it. So,
right.
So you've always got developmental costs in a business. And so you can't just look at it, you know, over a very short period of time. We'll get our ROE up, but we have to do our strategic stuff.